Welcome to the latest edition of Wax Ecstatic. My name's Matt Salmon, your host, as we talk a little bit about some classic baseball cards, digging through this old monster box. And today we're going to be wrapping up our look at the 1981 series of cards. We've already done Fleer and Topps, so Donruss is on the way. A very interesting pull for a number of reasons. One, because the person who is on the card is actually a hell of a person, great player, great manager, great representative of baseball. The downside is it's the dreaded manager card. I've never been a big fan of that. We'll get to that in just a moment. First, just want to remind you that you can find us on Twitter at Wax and Gum Stains. Again, at Wax and Gum Stains. Thanks again for joining us if you have followed us on Twitter. And as I've mentioned before, feel free to invite a friend. Just say, hey, you're a friend of mine. You like baseball cards. Here's this guy talking about this pile of old baseball cards and kind of looking back and creating some good memories, or at least pulling back some good childhood memories, and have them follow along. Again, at Wax and Gum Stains. Also, you can follow this podcast on SoundCloud, as we'll be posting a new podcast every few days. You never know when, but hopefully it's something you look forward to. Now, I look forward to the 81 Donruss pull here, because 81 Donruss is obviously the first Major League Baseball Players Association approved licensed product. And there's always excitement around a premier edition of a card, but there's so much lacking. They tried so hard, Donruss did, but they came up so short in so many ways. But let's first look at the player, or the person who is on this card, a former player. It is card number 431, the legendary Red Shane Deans, the longtime player, manager, coach, mostly with the St. Louis Cardinals, although in his playing career, he did play for the New York Giants and Milwaukee Braves for a little bit. Was also very briefly a coach with the Oakland Athletics in the late 70s, I believe. But he's always associated with the St. Louis Cardinals. And Red Shane Deans is just an outstanding person and an outstanding story. This guy is alive and kicking. He's 93 years old. He's still working for the Cardinals. He's a special assistant in their management structure. And including the 2016 baseball season, Red Shane Deans has now been wearing a Major League Baseball uniform, or has been working for a Major League Baseball organization for 71 consecutive seasons. That's amazing. I mean, you're going back to just after World War II ended. Red Shane Deans has somehow been involved in Major League Baseball. As I mentioned, a very good player, 289 career hitter, 2,449 hits over 19 seasons, again with the Cardinals, Giants, and Braves. This man knows how to win. He won a World Series five times while wearing a uniform. 1946 against the Red Sox, 1957 against the Yankees, 1964 against the Yankees, 1967 against the Red Sox, and in 1982, he finally gave the Red Sox and Yankees a break and helped beat the Milwaukee Brewers. Now, what's interesting is all five of these World Series for Red Shane Deans, they all went seven games. In 46, he was a player with the Cardinals, 57, a player with the Braves, 64, a coach with the Cardinals, 67, the manager of the Cardinals, and in 82, once again, a coach under Whitey Herzog. So a great story of Red Shane Deans. If you ever get the chance to go online and read his biography and hear about the great way that he was even discovered, basically in a practice, a public tryout for the St. Louis Cardinals. And he didn't make the team right then and there, but scouts tracked him down and got him on board anyways. This is a guy, you know, obviously when you think of the St. Louis Cardinals, the first person you think of is Stan Musial. Always you think of Stan Musial. And then maybe you think of Ozzie Smith. Maybe you're a Tony La Russa. More recently, Albert Pujols. Of course, he's with the Angels now, but a long time with the Cardinals. But if you look at long-term relationship with the St. Louis Cardinals, it's Red Shane Deans, and he's just had an outstanding career. And, of course, this picture, this card from 1981, in a very interesting transition time for Red, because he had come back as a coach for the Cardinals, but he was not a manager for the Cardinals. He was an interim manager, and going into the 1981 season, the Cardinals didn't yet settle in on who their manager was going to be. It was Whitey Herzog. He was recently with the Kansas City Royals. But the people at Donruss had no idea who the manager was. So even though this is technically a manager card, as you see on the front, it says Red Shane Dienst Coach. So the coach slash manager card, as Shane Dienst was still interim manager when the 81 season ended, he would step aside and become a coach once again as Herzog would take over the managing reins. And then that next season, 1982, the Cardinals would be world champions. So a very interesting story with Red Shane Dienst, an outstanding career as a player, a coach, as management. He's been part of the Cardinals organization for much of his life. And you would never be able to really tell that with this 81 Donruss card. Again, card number 431. And one of the big reasons why is because when you look at the back, the Donruss card is, first of all, cluttered with their Premier Edition logo at the top. Takes up almost the top third of the card. Then you have this lengthy biography right in the middle. And then they try to sum up Shane Dienst's coaching career, or managing career, I guess you could say, with just a very brief little column of his experience in Major League Baseball as a manager. And that was one of the many drawbacks of the 81 set. The backs of the 81 set, maybe later on we'll pull an 81 Donruss player card and you can see this, unless of course you have an 81 Donruss card laying around your house, and you might. But while Topps and Fleer were showing off the complete career stats year by year for a player or a manager, as the case may be, for Donruss, they decided when it came to stats, they were only going to show two lines, the most recent season and the career numbers. Now, that's not totally unheard of in baseball cards. In fact, Topps used to do that, and Bowman as well, back in the 1950s. But for a good, I'd say 25, 30 years up until this point, most baseball cards had a complete listing, even sometimes minor league cities that a player played in, not just last year and career years. I believe the 1971 top set was, prior to this one, the last one that just went with the two-line statistical report, and I was never a big fan of that. Now, also, I mentioned on Shane Dienst's card, there was his biography basically taking up the middle portion of the card. Well, if you look at the back of a player card, it's not a biography, but it's a timeline. Donruss would pick out three, four, maybe five significant events along the player's career and put that on the back of the card. And while that is certainly very unique, it's very hard to follow. You know, we're baseball fans. We like numbers. We like stats. We like being able to glance over a column or a row or a list and just go, oh yeah, here's the year this guy hit 285. Here's the year he cracked 30 home runs. Here's the year the pitcher struck out 200 batters. We're not looking at a particular year and then looking to read narration. So I thought that Donruss was very unique with this, very innovative, putting this type of reporting on their back of their Premier Edition, but it was very clunky, and the people at Donruss figured that out very quickly, as in 1982 they would go to listing stats, although differently from Fleer and Topps. We'll talk about that when we look at the 82 Donruss card pull in just a few days. But the 81 Donruss back, very cluttered, very different, again, unique, but something that baseball fans didn't really like. The front, much like Fleer, it had its problems. Bad photography. In fact, you look at this picture of Red Shane Dienst, it looks like the photographer put a piece of cheesecloth over the lens. And, you know, if you put Red in a nice big overstuffed chair with flowers around him, it would almost look like a Barbara Walters interview. So bad photography. A lot of the cards, if you go thumbing through a stack of 81 Donruss cards, dark photography. And much like the Fleer set, which we talked about a couple podcasts ago, very outdated pictures. And I remember in the 81 Donruss set, and maybe we'll be lucky and I'll pull this card one day, there's a card of Ray Burris, who was with the Mets at the time. Well, Donruss didn't have any pictures of Ray Burris with the Mets. So they found a picture of him pitching with the Cubs. And Ray Burris's 81 Donruss card features him as a member of the Mets pitching for the Cubs. And you saw all sorts of problems like that throughout the 81 set. So the 81 Donruss set is still somewhat plentiful to reach out and find, very much like Fleer because it's the premier edition. A little harder to find than Topps, but if you're looking for wax packs, if you're looking for unopened wax boxes, they are out there. They are rather plentiful and at a decent price. You can get a box for, I'd say, probably $75 or less. It's not a great set. The design isn't good. The photography isn't good. I can tell you the bubblegum destroyed a lot of the cards, much like the Fleer set. It just kind of oozed into the cardboard stock. And that was another problem with the 81 Donruss set. The stock was better than Topps in that it was a nice, clean, white color, much like Fleer. But the Donruss cardboard stock was very thin, very brittle. And in fact, if you look at a bunch of 81 Donruss cards, if you stack them up, they kind of have a deckle edge. They were very poorly cut, very rough cut, and just not a very good premier launch. But if you're somebody who likes to collect premier sets, and again, 1981, it's 35 years ago, so it's a vintage set, you could still find those cards. Now, one last thought about this. As great of a player, person, manager, coach, you name it, Red Shane Dienst was, I was never, and I'm still not, a fan of the manager cards. I just never liked the manager card. And I will say this, of all the baseball cards that you could pull from a pack, the manager card was the absolute worst card you could pull. Nobody wants the manager card. And with all due respect to baseball managers, nobody wants the manager card. You're looking for the superstar players. You're looking for the rookies. You're looking for the chase cards. You don't want the guy who's destined to be fired within the next couple of years. You want the big stars. You want the big cards that mean something, not the manager card. And the only thing worse than pulling a manager card from a pack of baseball cards is when you get the pack that has two manager cards. And I've had that before. And that is just awful. The dreaded manager card. Yes, I think the manager card is worse than the checklist card, the set checklist cards. You go back to the 50s and the 60s and the 70s when kids would actually use the checklist as a checklist. They would sit there and check off the cards that they got. Well, because you could rarely find a quote-unquote mint condition checklist because it was so handled and written on all the time, there was actually monetary value to it. It wasn't aesthetically pleasing, but you know, you could actually pull out a checklist card that, depending on the set, might be worth $10 or $15 because it was unscathed. So there was at least something to the checklist card. Likewise, there's something to the team photo card. Now, eventually, the team card would basically be boiled down to a, you know, a team leader card. It would be a picture of a guy, like, you know, crossing home plate, getting high five by his teammates, or it would be, here's this team's leading hitter, here's the team's leading pitcher. But I would say 1981 and years before then, you would often have team photo cards, and at least you got to see the whole team, maybe a certain uniform they're wearing. A lot of pictures were taken inside the ballpark. You now have some vintage ballparks that you could look at through the team checklist. So at least the team checklist had something aesthetically pleasing, what the set checklist didn't have, but certainly something that the manager card never had. I never liked the manager card. I don't know if you did. If you did, let me know. Wax and Gum Stains on Twitter. I'd be curious to find out if anybody actually liked the manager card. I personally didn't. And that's, again, nothing against managers, especially Major League Baseball managers. If you were a manager even for just a month, you made it to the major leagues. I mean, that's quite the accomplishment. And you look at a person like Red Shane Dienst. I mean, this guy is just legendary, especially with the St. Louis Cardinals, but through generations of Major League Baseball. So I don't want to take anything away from him or anything away from managers in general. But the manager card, save it. They still make them, too. That's the thing that drives me crazy. You can still pull a manager card, and it's just like, oh, great. Here's the guy who's going to get fired next year. Or sometimes you pull a card, and the manager was fired before the season started or 3 months ago. It's just, oh, great. Here's the card of the guy who's not even working anymore. Yay. So we've got the ultimate trifecta here with our look at 81 Donruss, a great player and person and manager and coach and management person in Red Shane Dienst, but the dreaded manager card and the somewhat sloppy 81 Donruss card. So let me know your thoughts about the Dreaded Manager card, the 81 Donruss set, or anything else. Again, Wax and Gum Stains at Twitter. Next time around, we move on to 1982. My personal opinion, one of the worst years for baseball card production. And we're going to be looking at quite possibly the worst baseball card ever designed, the 82 Fleer set. I'm your host, Matt Salmon. Thanks so much for listening to Wax Ecstatic. We'll talk to you again next time.